Scripture reading before the lesson this morning will be Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 6. Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 6. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive the instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence and to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles.
Good morning. I'd open up your Bibles to Proverbs, the first chapter, if you haven't done so already. This past Monday, we talked about these verses in the men's Bible study. We talked about really what it looks like to grow in wisdom. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in just a few minutes. Tyler, a couple weeks ago, talked about the tongue and how we need to be careful and mindful of how we use the tongue. The danger sometimes, though, is when a picture like this obviously can be appropriate when you're talking about the tongue and things that we say also describes how you listen. And there are people that listen like this picture shows. There's another conversation on how to use a microphone we could probably have eventually. But when you think about our perspective when it comes to listening and truly listening and the purpose behind listening and what we're listening to, it's important for us to understand that this listening takes effort. Eric Booker in class Monday, and then he talked about it again on Wednesday, was talking about this effort. There's effort that it takes to listen. We all can hear. We can all hear people say things, and we can all understand how those things work. But the reality for us is sometimes is that we just don't listen, or we don't listen appropriately. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. The purpose of listening. In Proverbs, the verses that were just read to us is talking about how you get knowledge, how you get wisdom, and how you continue to grow. I want you to notice verse 5. He says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. A man will hear, a wise person will hear. But what else do they do? It's not that they just hear the words that are being said. They increase in their learning. It's not just enough that you're hearing somebody say something, but when it comes to the scriptures in particular, it's with the intent of learning something. He'll go on here, the verse before in verse 4, it talks about the wise also need to be teaching the younger. There's an opportunity for us to teach other people how to listen so we can understand what it truly means and the purpose of listening with the desire to learn. That's not how often we listen anymore. And that's not new. A lot of times people today will listen to things just to affirm what they believe. They'll watch the shows they want to watch or the news channels they want to watch solely because they want affirmation to what they already think. It's not with the desire to learn. It's not with the desire to grow. We're afraid sometimes to really take the verses like iron sharpening iron and actually letting it happen. A lot of people are big fans of sharpening pillow. I don't know if you can do that. Hit each other with pillows. It's not the iron. It's not taking the opportunity to sit down and to study and to talk, even if I disagree. And knowing how we talk to one another. I want you to think about 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. In 1 Corinthians 13, this is a passage that we'll use, obviously, when it comes to how we talk, when it comes to love. But what if we listened this way as well? 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, is the love passage. But can you imagine in verse 4, as an example, love is patient. Can you imagine if you're listening to somebody with patience? Even when you don't agree? Can you imagine if you're listening with kindness? Even when you don't agree? Obviously, there's some specifically here that are going to be mentioned to our actions. They're being mentioned to the way that we speak to one another. But I also think there's a part of this that's important for us to understand when it comes to our listening. with the intent of learning. Not with the intent of trying to find somebody that's doing something wrong, or when they say something wrong, which we're going to look at in just a minute. But it's with the opportunity to learn. The passage, obviously, that comes up with this subject is over in James, the first chapter. But I want you to notice what this says. We'll talk a lot about verse 19. It says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." You know what does achieve the righteousness of God? When we do what verse 19 says. When we are quick to hear, when we are slow to speak, and when we are slow to anger. When you take the opportunity not to allow the anger to take over. And we're really good at that. It's amazing how often we can talk about the way that we know we ought to listen, but a lot of times the purpose of our listening is a little bit different. And I want to look at a couple of examples that we see in the scriptures of the people that just did not listen for the right reasons. Over in Matthew, the 15th chapter, this is going to interest a lot of people, I think, when it comes to being offended. This is not a new thing. I know we live in a new time and we think everything's new, but it's not. Matthew, the 15th chapter, we see here that there were people that were offended by something Jesus said. How could they be offended? In verse 10, Jesus says, "Hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles a man." And the disciples came to him saying, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" Oh, they're so offended by whatever you say. People are always going to be offended by what you say if they want to be. People today are looking for things to offend them many times. But you know who else was? The Pharisees. We're looking for things. They weren't listening for the purpose of actually growing and learning. People come offended by various things. And sometimes it's because they're not listening properly, and sometimes it's because we're not saying it properly. And both are important. You continue on. We talked about this in class. Matthew, the 16th chapter, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come up to Jesus, and they're testing him. There are times that we question things or we talk to people simply to test them. Not to learn. It wasn't that they really wanted to know his answer to this from a truth standpoint. They were testing him. You take this to Mark, the 8th chapter, in verse 11, it says they were confronting him. To confront Jesus. How often are we listening to somebody solely to confront them? You say something, you start talking, and I already have in my mind what I'm going to say back. The walls go up, and we're going to go at it, even though we may be saying the exact same thing. It is amazing how often I sit and listen to people in their communication that are saying the exact same thing, yet they're arguing. How is that possible? Because of communication. There's a lack of communication. There's a misunderstanding of my intention to teach other people in the way that I speak or when I talk to somebody, to communicate with somebody, but also a misunderstanding in the way that I listen and my willingness to listen to people. See, the Pharisees already thought they had all the answers. So why was Jesus going to teach them? Do you know how many times we fall into that? I'm going to ask a question in class and you think you're going to teach me something? I'm the teacher. What a dangerous thing that is. And how quickly we can fall into it. Let alone in the fact that some of us have the pandemic down. We all understand what's going on there. It's amazing, the experts we have. Some of us have all the things in politics down and got it all down. It's awesome. And yet we don't. This is the problem. And the danger is we think we do. And so when we're talking to somebody or we're listening to somebody, we're not listening to hear somebody's concerns. We're not listening to hear somebody that perhaps might say something that actually makes me think about something. We just want them to stop talking so I can talk again. And I'm a preacher, so I understand the speaking part. It is amazing how often We can get caught up in this in our day-to-day lives. Over in Luke, the 20th chapter, this whole chapter is full of ways that we need to listen and ways we should not listen. Again, this passage begins by talking about the fact that the Pharisees were going up to Jesus to simply confront him. If you're going up to confront somebody, you have no desire to listen. You have no desire to listen to them. I've been in debates in my life. I've watched debates in my life, and I'm talking about spiritual debates, where the end result simply was both sides thought they won. And that's impossible when we're talking about religious debates. One side, in essence, taught the truth, and the other side didn't. The danger is when our listening, our way of communication, comes nothing more than confrontation and competitiveness. That's not the point of listening. That's not the purpose of what God is telling us. And it's not new. James, the first chapter, when he talks about, again, being quick to hear, there's a reason why he would write that in James. You know why? Because they didn't do it. They needed to hear it. And guess who else needs to hear it? Every single person that's walked the face of this earth. They confront him. I want you to notice verse 19 of chapter 20 of Luke. Here you have the scribes and the chief priests try to lay hands on him, of Jesus, that very hour, and they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke their parable against them. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement so that they could deliver him to the rule and the authority of the governor. Do you think that the scribes and the chief priests here had any intention of listening to what Jesus was going to say? They went to the extent of bringing people in to pretend that they were righteous. You don't think Jesus knew that? The danger is, there are people that can pretend to be righteous here. And I'm not God. He knows the intentions. He knows the heart. Perhaps it's not the same end result that we're looking for reasons to get somebody else. But I tell you, I've been in situations where it certainly seems to me that the person that's either called and left a message or the person I'm talking to is trying to catch me in saying something. And I'm sure it's happened to others. For me, it's about homosexuality or other sins that are going on, hot topic issues. Get them to say something. Well, I just did. It's amazing how often we get people that get caught up in those things. Rather than understanding the intentions of the heart, they questioned him. In verse 21, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth." How are they questioning him? They actually wanted to know, but you see in verse 23, he knew their trickery. Even how we question is important. And in both cases, by the way, after Jesus handles the situations as only Jesus can, it says that they finally became silent. They stopped asking him questions. They stopped doing the things that they needed to do. How often our purpose of listening is simply because we want to confront somebody, we want to be right, and it's not about learning. It's not about striving to serve God, to bring righteousness to God in all that we do, including the way that we listen to one another. We talked about Proverbs, the first chapter. We talked about the first few verses here. If you continue on, I want you to notice the shouting that goes on. In context here, we talked about on Monday, and Brian brought this up, that we get through this part of enticing, that sin, in essence, entices us. People will entice us to sin. And you can just get this image of them whispering, and it's amazing how often we're able to hear the whispers. We're able to hear the "come with us" part in verse 11. And I want you to notice, as he goes on in verse 20, it says, "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge?" She's yelling. She's shouting it in the streets. The wisdom of God is everywhere. And how often we listen to the whisper. And he's shouting. The scriptures tell us that his creation is shouting. When you go outside or you look in a mirror, you see the amazing creation of our God, let alone anywhere else. And we take it for granted so quickly. But it is shouting that there's a creator. There certainly is intelligence behind its design. It is amazing that I can look out and see the amazing creation, look up and see the wonderful stars and planets and various things, and understand a creation, and somebody actually come to the conclusion that it was an accident. Romans, the first chapter in verse 20, and this is a powerful passage, I think, for us to understand when we're talking to people living today that do not believe. So often we're the ones, to Eliot's point, that we're the ones that almost feel like we need to come up with an excuse with actually believing in God. Romans, the 20th, or first chapter in verse 20, says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Not us. They are without excuse. The creation is shouting out to you. The wisdom is shouting out to you. James, the first chapter, the verses after what Eliot read at the table, talks about if you need wisdom, pray for it. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be his children and to do all the things that we possibly can to be the lights in this world, specifically what we're talking about, even in the way that we listen. You know, Tyler, a couple weeks ago, talked about the different ways that we can write a text message as an example, and we can talk about the different ways that we can read them and that there's dot, dot, dots and various things that go on, ellipses for you smart people. People use all those different things. You know, we can get caught up so much in all of that, and the danger sometimes that I can read it that way, in the way that I read something or listen to something. And so both sides are so important on how I handle the communication piece of this. But I'm going to tell you, as we end, there is one last shout that is coming that every single person is going to hear. You may look at the creation, and people are going to, and say, there is no God. You may be offered the fact that there is godly wisdom everywhere, and it's shouting. And it's saying, you know, I don't want to listen to it. I'm a fool, as the proverb says. But there is one last shout that is coming that every single person will hear on this earth. And it is a shout when you hear this one that it is too late to make a decision. Our Savior, when he returns, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That is a shout that we all are going to hear. And that shout is going to give us the opportunity to stand before our God, give an account of the things that we have done. And it's going to be based on whether or not we listened to the wisdom shouting, whether or not we understood the true creator of all things and had a relationship with him, and whether or not we lived a life of bringing righteousness and glory to our God and our Father. That's the choice that we all have. It doesn't matter the verses that we look at, the verses that I say, the things that we talk about. We can all, in theory, talk about these things. The reality is it's day-to-day living that is so important. The conversations that you have with your family, with your coworkers, friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, whoever it is, are we allowing our light to shine? Are we being the people that God has called us to be? There's a day coming, and I pray that you are listening to me. There's a day coming where we're all going to bow before him, and he's going to tell us whether or not we're going to be with him for eternity, and it's solely based on you and me. His grace has been offered. The question is whether or not we're willing to accept it. And if you have not done so, we would love to help you. We would love to help you get to know who Jesus is, to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you need prayers, please ask, but as always, make sure that you're praying for one another, leaning on one another, encouraging one another. But if there's anything that we can do for you now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.